rolled into BOA, where everybody hangs ahead. Rule needs to save ace while his team gets some rest. Hey, Tepper, can you tell me if we're gonna get some help ahead? He just smiled and shook his head, and no was all he said. Take a week off, Maddie. Take a week to think. Take a week off, Panthers. And beat the Falcons in week 14. IR is getting bad. We're looking for a back to ride. When we heard Cam Newton's back, really thought things would be alright. I said, hey, no, man, why's the D been slowing down? He said that I don't know, 'cause now Jackson's also down. Take a week off, Panthers. Take a week to think. Take a week off losing. And beat the Falcons in week 14.
Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. That is the hack song of the week. A homage from the band, one of my favorite bands, from Hacksaw. Send them in 704-570-9610. We're going to hear that song mercifully again at noon and at 1:40, and then at 1:40, Hacksaw is going to join us. Of course, it is a bye week for Carolina, but Stephen Ruiz, NFL analyst for The Ringer, will talk state of the Panthers with him coming up at 11:40, and then get into what is a great weekend in the NFL. We've also got college football conference championship week to get into. We've got that, and we also have what has become one of the more interesting situations. While the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have gotten things back on track for their season, there is one distraction they're dealing with right now, and surprisingly, Stan, it's Antonio Brown, who has been suspended 3 games alongside 2 other Buccaneers for violating the NFL and NFLPA's COVID-19 protocols for purchasing. Or, sorry, the exact framing of this is misrepresenting their vaccination statuses.
Okay. So, do you want to go fake vaccination card first, mm-hmm. or do you want to go on-field implications first?
Yes, let's go there.
Which one?
The first one. All or right. The second one.
All right, on-field implications.
It's now, I think the real story is Antonio Brown having fakes vaccination cards.
So, is it because it's him, or if it were like the other two dudes, there's a backup safety and there's somebody else? Well, are we as mad at the other two dudes? When I say mad, it means, do we have feelings about the other two dudes?
If the other two dudes were as good as Antonio Brown, I'd probably care. It's more that Antonio Brown, I don't think you can divorce the two things. I look at this closer to the Aaron Rodgers situation, specifically with Antonio Brown. So that probably tells me it's less about Antonio Brown is on strike 5 of his NFL career, and it's more about this is just a chucklehead move for a guy who's a important part of the Tampa Bay offense to make.
So I'm going to be honest with you. It's the fact that it's Antonio Brown is going to magnify the conversation for a lot of people.
That's fair.
For me, it doesn't. I look at what the offense is in a vacuum, and okay, I think it doesn't matter what I feel. It matters what his teammates feel. Do they feel he put them at – same thing we say with Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Did you lie to us?
Yeah.
So for you to be unvaccinated and I got my mask off around you,
mm-hmm.
like that's chipping away at the trust, the fabric of this team.
I think what helps him is he's already out with an ankle injury and he would have already missed the next 2 games anyways.
So the on-field implications are they're winning games without him.
Well,
so.
But like I'm just thinking like in the locker room. If it already is going to cost him 2 of the 3 weeks.
But you're still around dudes. Just because he's injured doesn't mean he's not in the weight room.
That's
it doesn't
fair.
Mean he's not in the training room, the whirlpool. He's meeting with the medical staff. So you're still around him. Listen, I don't I've said from day one, your vaccination stuff, look, that's on you. You make your personal choice. Just let me know what's going on if we're in close proximity like that.
There is something.
And maybe he did. Maybe the team knew, just like Aaron Rodgers. I believe the team knew exactly what it was. And because it's Aaron Rodgers, they just dismissed it.
I actually think that's what the complicating factor is. Like Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Buccaneers, basically when this came up, the initial thing, which was his former chef, Steven Ruiz, different from the Steven Ruiz we're going to be joining and talking with at 11:40, by the way, when it kind of said that Brown had asked him if he could help him get a fake vaccination card, even though he couldn't. Like, when that came out, Bruce Arians said, yeah, the story, there's nothing really there. So the Buccaneers themselves have tried to tamp this down and have tried to protect Antonio Brown in this. I think that's another interesting facet. So there is Antonio Brown and who he is as a human being and what he's been accused of doing. That doesn't matter to you, but I think it does matter to some
people. It matters to me, but why do we do this with people? That part bothers me.
Well, because I think that is a part of it. I don't think it should be the only thing. Like, if you just say, if your response is, it's Antonio Brown, cut him. Like, I think that's missing a step. I think it matters. I think it doesn't matter whether this was a Carolina Panther, whether this was a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, whether this was a Buffalo Bill, Pittsburgh Steeler, whatever. If his teammates feel like this guy either put our situation in jeopardy, our season in jeopardy, you know, put us individually in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Then I think it's become a problem that Antonio Brown needs to cut. Like, that's when I think it becomes to that level. But I don't think just in and of itself, I think it's weirdly comical, despite the fact there's nothing funny about this. And if somebody did this in our office, I would be furious. If they didn't tell us and they had had a fake vax card and they had played that game and we had been around each other, I would be furious if that happened. But there is something just broadly comical about an adult going to this length to do this.
Well, athletes across pro sports, right? Like, this is a thing that's still happening in some level. I've seen this happen in the NHL. I believe Major League Baseball had one of these occurrences. This is going to be, again, magnified because it's Antonio Brown. So I look at it this way. There was no way the Packers were going to discipline Aaron Rodgers where it cost him games. Mm-hmm. Antonio Brown happens to be hurt, so it's convenient to give him two games. I'm looking at the Four Letter Network right now, and a moment ago they had a thing up there about a graphic about, was the two-game penalty too harsh, even if he were healthy?
Mm-hmm.
It's two games, even if Antonio Brown could.
It was three games, and Antonio was going to miss the next two games.
All right, so it's three games. He's going to miss the two with injury anyway.
Yeah.
It's three games. Too harsh.
No, I don't know.
How many games did Aaron Rodgers miss?
It would be, no, and that's fair. It would be, so okay, so they are similar situations. I also don't think they're one for one. Aaron Rodgers' situation was, he was going back and forth with the NFLPA and all this other stuff. And
he was trying to say, what did he say? He's not vaccinated. What did he say? What's the term?
Immunized.
Yeah.
What the?
So, and by the way, the Packers organization was a lot more complicit in that than I think the Buccaneers organization was complicit in this. But I think it's fair to say. The reality is, I think Aaron Rodgers should have been suspended because it was nonsense. It was nonsense. There was no need for him to misrepresent people. And listen, if people are listening saying, well, it's nobody's business. Well, there's nobody's business if you individually are immunized, but when it starts to affect the people you work with and you work in a public setting, it is going to get out. It is going to matter because it is part of a greater conversation going on in every office across America.
So I think it's, look, the NFL did not mandate that players get vaxxed.
Mm-hmm.
So the
strongly encouraged.
Strongly encouraged.
Pretty pleased with sugar on top.
Cool. Antonio Brown and others have said, because I don't want to deal with the flack from the league, here are some of the methods that I'm willing to go to. So if you don't, if those that are just tuning in, they don't understand my position on Antonio Brown. If he had the conversation with his team and let the organization know where he's really at, and then they just got caught, so now it's a thing, then I have less of a problem with it. If he lied to the squad, Now I have an issue with it. I do believe three games is too harsh for this.
I look at this whole thing.
Three games?
And again, somebody sent you and I wish I remember their Twitter handle off the top of my head so I can give them credit for it. But they had sent a fake screenshot of what Antonio's, like a caricature of what it would look like. Antonio Brown's fake vax card. I can't get back to the idea of...
I haven't seen it.
...of anybody going to this length to avoid this. We've just gotten to a point where this is such a polarizing thing, and there's so much shaming going on both sides, and quite honestly, the conversation sucks. It sucks because it pits people who otherwise would love each other and treat each other with love and respect well. So I loathe the conversation that it forces on us. I don't have to agree or disagree with anybody's personal decision that they want to make. But I think the bare minimum standard for an athlete or any human being is just to be honest and transparent. And so that to me is where, I'll be honest with you, I don't look at this and say Antonio Brown wasn't punished strongly enough. I look at it and say Antonio Brown was punished too harshly. I look at it and say Aaron Rodgers should have been punished more severely. And because I think the problem is if you don't want to get vaccinated, cool. That's your choice. That's where we are, that this is a personal choice for people in America. But at least be honest about it and at least follow the proper things that you would want them and vice versa on the opposite. I don't care if you are vaccinated. Let's just be transparent about it and treat each other with respect and act like adults.
My point is, let's not assume that Antonio, I'm not saying you, let's not assume that Antonio Brown didn't tell his team. Let's not assume Aaron Rodgers didn't tell his team.
Antonio Brown gets three games for for being misleading about his vaccination
potentially
status.
Potentially misleading.
Was that too much, too little, or just right? We're going to talk about the greatest ACC championship football game that we're going to have this year. That's next on Sports Radio FNC.
Oh, it's only one this year, Nick.
Radio FNZ, Steven Ruiz, not the guy with the fake vax card, former chef of Antonio Brown, but NFL analyst for The Ringer joins us in 20 minutes. Great weekend in the NFL, despite the Panthers at the bye. But Stan, the moment has arrived, friend. ACC title, Kenny Pickett, pimping Kenny Pickett, and slinging Sammy Hartman. I had to stop myself because I was going to say Sammy Howell.
I don't know what you were talking about slinging.
We should be there.
A battle of ACC giants this weekend in Charlotte. I'm going as a fan. I know other people are going as members of the media. How torqued are you? Are you fully torqued at this game this weekend?
I love college football.
Mm-hmm.
This is the conference that I played in.
Mm-hmm. These are all facts.
That I revere. I grew up in this conference.
Mm-hmm.
There are probably five other games I'm more interested in than watching this.
Okay. Why do you hate fun, and why do you hate Wake Forest and Pitt?
There are going to be a lot of points scored. The over-under is 71.
You're just saying things about the game. You're not there's.
There's like, literally no opinion.
Like, let's.
We're in the opinion business. And I literally
they're
have
in
no
our
opinion.
City. Let's enjoy this. Let's embrace this. There's mayo on the line.
This is real. So I was over at ACC headquarters yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They had a function. I appreciate that. Black sports professionals had a function. I heard from Commissioner. Excuse me. Jim Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
Had a chance to meet him. That's a name drop.
Not a member of the
but
the
he's
culture.
He's from Chicago. He understands Southside Chicago. Like, he's a real dude. Appreciate you.
Did he talk in a Southern accent?
He did not.
Okay.
He did not. I get the sense, and this is just reading the energy, mm-hmm. not from Commissioner Phillips, but just other members of the ACC. Let's just say this isn't the dream matchup.
So
that they thought of.
I've been curious about this because we've been talking about the possibility of this for a minute, and you have just bleeped all over it.
I can tell you that Uptown was not buzzing.
Well,
the Marriott City Center was not just overflowing with fans waiting to get autographs from the teams.
All due respect to Wake and Pitt, they're not going to draw the way Clemson would if Clemson was here, or even North Carolina if North Carolina was in this.
Or Virginia Tech, or NC State. Or, do I need to keep going?
But let's put it up against the other. Like, is this a better or worse matchup of teams, excitement, whatever, than Baylor versus Oklahoma State?
No. Not even close.
The only reason I would agree with you is that Oklahoma State, with a win, continues to be in the playoff conversation. With the right things, ends up in the playoffs.
Having lived in that part of the country for a decade, I can tell you those programs in that part of the country, they care more about football there than Wake Forest and Pitt here.
Is this better or worse than Michigan-Iowa?
It's a worse game than Michigan-Iowa.
Right. What about Cincinnati-Houston? Because I know you just loathe the group of five.
Because I want to see Cincinnati get beat, just to trigger you, I'm more interested in watching Cincinnati-Houston than Wake Pitt.
So I think part, and I don't know if this
Don't tell the commission I said that, by the way.
I don't know if this is specific to you.
Yeah.
I think a fair amount of people, ACC fans, would agree that this is, of the let's just keep it in the Power Five. Of the Power Five conference championship games, this is going to be the least talked about, least heralded game going into it.
I'm sorry, don't use the train of thought. Oregon-Utah.
But I think...
More exciting.
I think that has more to do with the fact that neither of these teams is going to go to the playoffs no matter what happens in this game than it does. Like, Oklahoma State-Baylor, if we talk about the national perspectives on those, like, OK State's a great program. It's not in the same league of even Oklahoma. It's not in the same conference for a minute. It's not in the same, you know, it's not Michigan. It's not.
No, it's not the blue bloods of college football, no.
So nor is Baylor.
Nor is Baylor.
And I think even if you go to, like, Michigan-Iowa. Like, Michigan-Iowa.
Blue blood.
Well, but Michigan-Iowa isn't Ohio State-Wisconsin.
No.
Right? So, and that's more on Iowa, not on Michigan. I want people to think I'm bleeping on Michigan there. So I think this is more about, if Wake right now was undefeated, and they were fifth in the country, like Oklahoma State.
Right. We're going to argue right now, by the way. Go ahead.
I think this would have a lot more appeal, and I do think there might be more people willing to come to Charlotte if there was something tangible on the line. Getting back to your buzz perspective.
The Charlotte Sports Foundation have been excellent with us, and I wish them all the success. I hope it's a sellout.
All due respect.
However, if Wake Forest was undefeated and an opportunity to get a place at the table in the college football playoff, I don't think it would move the attendance much noticeably at all. I just don't think it's that big a deal, not to us in the media, not to me as a former player in the conference. I just think in the region, I don't know that the casual college football fan, come on, Timmy, let's go down here and watch undefeated Wake Forest.
Leave Timmy out of this.
Hey, Demetrius, you got anything going on Saturday?
I think this is where your perspective hurts you a little bit, because you are a football supremacist.
And would you quit saying that? It's not true.
It is 100%
true. I like high-quality football matchup.
What about football anarchist?
That sounds worse.
No. I think I'm the anarchist because I like anarchy in football. Mm. I think he's a football size queen. All right.
Wait, hold on.
Only premier programs.
We got to evaluate that.
Okay,
what does that mean?
All right, so just so we know, in the pantheon of things, you'd rather be called a football supremacist rather than a college football size queen.
Yes, but we're trying to get something other than supremacist.
Well, I was working on it.
I'd rather hold on, before you go. 2013, number one ranked Florida State hosted number 20 Duke Blue Devils.
Mm-hmm.
More people cared about that game than what we're going to see on Saturday.
Well,
now that was a terrible game.
Some of that is some of that is Florida State.
They were Jameis Winston, number one in the country. It was a thing.
But I think it was, if that was number 20, because this is 15 versus 16 in the ACC title game this weekend at the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
It's not the rankings; it's the teams.
But you just referenced a team that had a chance to go and play for the national championship. So that's why I think it's a false equivalence.
That ended up being the number one overall pick.
Well, that's a part of it, but Kenny Pickett has gotten a lot of traction outside.
Can we stop?
These are two of the best offenses in college football.
Can we stop?
Let me ask you. No, I think that's a really good point by Itty Bitty Fitty.
It's a terrible point.
Thank you, Nick.
I think it's a really good point.
This is an awful point.
We literally just talked about this in the pre-show.
I still feel the way I feel.
I think the fact that – I think one of the saving graces of this game is the fact that the over-under set at 71. I think that this is going to be one of those games that maybe the buzz – because I think sometimes we equate the buzz going into as the most important thing. It is important. And listen, like you, I'll say this. When it was Clemson versus Georgia the doghouse and that was popping, that was one of the coolest things.
That's what it looks like.
But
that's big boy football.
But Clemson bleeped the bed, and you don't have another school capable of generating that right now.
Florida State down, Miami down, Virginia Tech down, Carolina's sus.
So with that being said, I think the game's actually going to be excellent. Braden Gall was joining us. When Braden Gall joined us of ESPN Radio and the Cover 2 podcast,
yeah.
He said it might be the best game this weekend, and it could be. I think it should be a 45-41. A 50-45.
Whee!
So considering that we really like offense in America, I think this is going to be an incredible watchable game. And I just push back on the idea that, well, because you're not in the playoff hunt, it shouldn't matter. By going to that thought process, that's a college football supremacist thought, and that's not where I am.
To show you that I'm a fair man and I'm not a supremacist. Right? College football supremacist.
Never thought you were going to have to say that phrase on the air.
In 2019. Number 3 in the country, Clemson Tigers, faced number 22, Virginia Cavaliers, my alma mater. This same game, that same stadium. And going into that game, guess what I said? It's going to be an awful game. Because Clemson's going to absolutely destroy my Cavaliers. And Clemson will go on to beat Virginia 62-17. It's just not a good – now, that wasn't a good matchup. This game – I'm not disputing we'll be better. I'm just talking about the energy, the eyeballs, the butts in seats. I don't think it has the juice.
Yeah, but if it ends up being a great game, who the hell cares? Like, this is actually a great point. Thank you for bringing up that game.
God.
There was one team that had anything to gain in that game, and it was Clemson because they were in the playoff hunt. So that game mattered a lot to Clemson. And Virginia, it mattered for pride points, but you knew.
It was the first time that we were in the ACC championship game.
You knew they were getting work in that game.
Of course we're going to get beat.
So
we did cover
this game, if you painted me a picture, a majestic picture with happy little accidents that Pitt was going to win this game, I'd buy that painting. If you told me that Wake was going to win this game with all the little happy little accidents, I'd paint that picture.
What are you doing?
So
were you Bob Ross?
So by going to this idea don't have premier brands in here, so this game sucks. No, this game has sucked because the games have sucked. Like, I don't care about the buzz.
Clemson smashed everybody.
I don't care what the buzz is if it leads to one team walking in like a caveman and donking the other one on the head. This is going to be competitive. This is what we should strive for.
So do it.
I'm going to the game.
No. Lock it in.
Lock it in. That's going to be – what am I locking in? That's going to be a good game?
That Wake is going to win.
That's not what I've said.
We've already done that, though.
I have already locked it in.
I was reminding him of a lock-in. People that are new to the program may not have heard him lock it in.
I have already locked in that Wake Forest is going to win the ACC title.
Are you getting a T-shirt?
But that's not what we're having. The conversation we're having is the game itself. I wanted to throw this out to everybody listening. Would you rather a game with the national prominence, meaning – a team in the playoff hunt with playoffs to live and die for, with against a team that has no shot in hell and is going to get the crap kicked out of them. Would you rather what we've seen historically or last decade in the ACC title game, or would you rather the more competitive game with less heralded programs? Because I think both are good for the ACC. I think you need to have a little mix of both, even if more often than not, we want to be able to have a team saying, hey, skin in the game, national implications, this, that, and the other.
People love to say this, and I bring this up on this station all the time. People love to say, oh, give the little guy a chance. Hey, let's see what happens if they get on the stage. People love to say, I saw the viewership numbers when George Mason and the Butlers, Virginia Commonwealth University, I've seen the numbers. Okay, that's college basketball. I've seen the numbers when teams that, quite frankly, have no business in certain games, we've seen the numbers. What do you think the ratings for this game? Because I do believe this will be a high-scoring, entertaining game. Two evenly matched teams.
Mm-hmm.
Of the five Power Five conference championship games, it will be the least viewed.
Yes, but why is that the measure of success?
No, I'm not saying it's the measure of success. I'm just acknowledging that there is not the cachet with this matchup.
But why does that matter? Why does that matter to what?
8 p.m.
If the game, like, let me put it this way.
Watching that.
Sports Radio FNC, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. Happy Friday, everybody.
What up,
happy
though?
Bye week Friday.
What up, though?
It just feels better when you know the Panthers aren't going to lose on Sunday.
They actually won last night.
And by the way, the bye week has come at the perfect time here. We've got more to get into from the ACC title game. The end of our conversation there was obviously interrupted for a very good reason. So we'll get more into the ACC title game. We've got plenty to get into from this weekend in sports. But even though the Panthers aren't playing, it's a great weekend in the NFL at large. A lot of great matchups with a lot of implications to go ahead and talk about the weekend in the NFL. We'll also talk about the Carolina Panthers and the state of them. We welcome on, you know him as an NFL analyst for The Ringer. He's part of the Ringer NFL show preview. That episode comes out every Friday afternoon. And this man is on the up and come. He is the great Stephen Ruiz. Welcome back to the show, Stephen.
Damn, I don't know if I'm going to be able to live up to that intro.
Well, so the reason why I went that hard was that I know that people are going to hear Stephen Ruiz and think of the fake vax card guy, the former chef. And I'm trying to counteract some of the negativity this week you may have received accidentally on Twitter.
I like it. When I first started out in this business, the other Stephen Ruiz, when you Googled my name, was a guy that was in the Hell's Angels gang and got arrested for murder. So this one is actually more tamer than that other guy. I'm actually more pleased with this result.
What I'll say is, it's like Mike Williams. Somebody has to be the good Mike Williams in the NFL. You are the good Stephen Ruiz, and that's what matters. So before we get to what I think is going to be a great weekend in the NFL, a question that we've asked ourselves this week is whether or not the Carolina Panthers, the rebuild, is still on track. Do you think the Panthers rebuild, year two of Matt Rhule, is still on track?
I mean, I'm still waiting for the rebuild to start. I think that's been the problem, is they've never really fully committed to a rebuild. There's been these stopgap measures, especially at the quarterback position, and that's really how you rebuild the franchise, right? When you rebuild, you start over at the most important position on the team, and we never really got that over the first 2 years. So when does it start? Like, if you go back to the trade, I think it was last offseason for Russell Okung, you trade away Trey Turner, who was a much younger player, for like a win now move with a veteran left tackle who was already talking about retirement. Are those moves consistent with the rebuild? I don't know. So I would say no. I don't think the rebuild is on track. I don't think it's ever got on track.
Stephen, is Matt Rhule through 28 games over his skis?
I mean, you have to think there's at least one or two times during a game where you're like, what are you doing, Matt Rhule? And when you're a coach like he is, where he's not the offensive coordinator, it's not like he's like a Sean McVay type where he's so involved in the play calling on either side of the ball. Your job is to manage the game, and I have to say that he hasn't done a good job at that. That's probably been the worst part of the coaching staff on game days, is their game management, their decision making, and their time management. So I would say no, and I don't think the team is any better. He's known as a program builder. I don't think, is there a like a clear direction for this program right now? I would say no. So through 28 games, it hasn't been a good job.
In fairness, the clear direction is they've lost 7 of their last 9 games. So there is a direction. It's just not the direction we would like to be heading. Stephen Ruiz, NFL analyst for The Ringer with Nick and Stan here, breaking down the latest with the Carolina Panthers here. And while we do that, it is a fantastic week in the NFL. We saw a good matchup of two good brands last night, Dallas getting the win over New Orleans. Was last night more about Dallas getting right, or was last night more about the New Orleans Saints going full into the tarlac pit?
I think it's the second one. I think it's whenever you have Taysom Hill starting at quarterback, I don't think you could take anything away from that game if you're the opposing team. Like, you can't be like, oh yeah, we played well on defense. No, you played a tight end at quarterback. Like, that's going to happen. And it's a Thursday night game. I take those results with a grain of salt just because of how weird those weeks are. And, you know, you have to turn around in 3 days. I know these teams played on Thanksgiving. But it's just a weird atmosphere to play in. So I'm not going to take too much from it. But for the Saints, I think this is like, I think it was a good result, because then now you give up on the Taysom Hill experiment, right? You don't have to waste your time. You go into next offseason, maybe they re-sign Jameis, but you realize this guy's not going to be our quarterback. So we need to have a plan at the quarterback position that doesn't involve him.
Mr. Ruiz, I look at the top of the NFC, and I think in a certain order, we can pretty safely assume how that top five-ish is going to shake out. What about though, you know, the six and that seven spot, that wild card spot? How do you think of those teams that are muddled there together right now? In the end, when the dust settles, how's that going to look?
I think the 49ers are the best of that group. They've been playing really well over the last couple of weeks. I know they had that little dry spell, I think it was like October, but they look like a team that not only is capable of winning this wild card spot, but I think they can do some damage in the playoffs. Like, Kyle Shanahan is just a ridiculously hard coach to coach against, especially in the playoffs when he really has more time to focus on his opponent. But after that, this seventh seed, man, the Giants are in control of the seventh seed, or not the Giants, the Washington football team. And they're not a very good team. I know they beat Carolina 2 weeks ago, but even that was a shaky result. I don't know. I'm not even ruling out the Panthers. If like Cam gets comfortable and they can somehow figure out a way to protect this offensive line and make their job a little easier.
Oh, Omar.
I'm not ruling it out that they can go on a little bit of a run. I'm not ruling it out. I know.
How do we come full circle on this? You basically covered every base that we've covered this week of that's not looking good, but you know what? You never really know. Steven, looking at the NFC South at large, Tampa Bay is doing Tampa Bay things with or without Antonio Brown. Who do you think of those three teams, Atlanta, New Orleans, and Carolina, who do you think has the best chance of going on a run here and securing that seventh spot?
Oh, man. I think it's the Saints, and I know it's hard to say after last night's game, but if they get healthy, they have a favorable schedule. And last night's game wasn't even a game they needed to win to really make the playoffs. They could lose this game. They could lose the next Tampa Bay game, and like the rest of their schedule is pretty easy. I know Carolina's on it. But if they win those games that I think they'll be favored in, they'll actually make the playoffs based on the math. So I would pick the Saints, as much as it pains me as a lifelong Panthers fan.
Let's talk individual players for a second. Let's start with, you know, the general categories. MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Rookie, all of that. Where are you at?
You know, my MVP has been tough this year. It's like it seems like it changes every week. But I think Kyler has actually benefited from not playing these last few weeks because all these other quarterbacks have played poorly. But if it's not – like, if Kyler comes back and just lights up the league, I think he's going to win the award. But if it's not him, it might end up being Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, which is such a boring outcome. But, like, that's what happens when all these quarterbacks are so inconsistent. Like, you just go with the known commodities.
So no love for Kirk Cousins, who's got a quarterback rating of 105.3. Geez, Steven. Come on, man.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not a Kirk guy. I can't give him credit. Even when he plays well, I'm not going to give him credit. Well, that's not fun. Rooting for Kirk Cousins, come on now.
So you don't like that. Steven Ruiz, NFL analyst for The Ringer with Nick and Stan. Maybe the best game we can expect this weekend isn't until Monday. Pats, Bills in Orchard Park there. The Bills just a 2.5-point favorite here. Who do you like in this matchup?
On paper, I really like the Patriots. We saw 2 weeks ago this Buffalo team, when it has to go up against a aggressive run game, a run game that's not just going to run inside zone, outside zone at you. They're going to run power. They're going to run trap, swam blocks. Like, they really had problems against the Colts. And this Patriots team, they're the best at that in the league. They have a great offensive line. They're committed to the run. My one concern is Mac Jones against a great defense. This is one of the best defenses in the league. They're very disciplined. Like, you know, Sean McDermott from his time in Carolina, he's one of the best coaches in the league. I think he's going to have them ready to play against this offense. And I actually give the Bills the coaching advantage on that side of the ball. It comes down to what Belichick can do to Josh Allen. And I think Belichick has it in him to fool Josh Allen and to goad him into a couple of mistakes. So I'm going to pick the Patriots. Even on the road, I don't think they're the better team, but I think in this matchup, they just match up better.
All right, Steven, to wrap it up here in Carolina, I got about 30 seconds. A lot of quarterback thirst going on in Carolina right now. What is the Panthers' best hope for a quarterback in 2022?
I think, honestly, and this is going to sound like I'm a Cam, like Stan or whatever, I think it's Cam Newton. The quarterback class is bad. I don't think they're going to be able to get one of these veterans that wants to get traded out of their city. I really think it's Cam Newton.
Follow this man on the Twitter machine at the Stephen Ruiz, the good Stephen Ruiz with us here, NFL analyst for The Ringer. Do not forget about The Ringer NFL show preview. All right, they preview the weekend's games coming up. That happens every Friday afternoon. Stephen, keep killing it, man. Really, really appreciate your time, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
Stephen Ruiz is
Take
like
care, Mr. Ruiz.
One of the nicest dudes.
Very pleasant man.
I mean, just a really good dude. And I think when we get into best case scenarios, this quarterback thirst, it's starting to hit us. We're starting to get parched about quarterback thirst, and we're going to continue on here because it's about quarterback thirst in Carolina next on Sports Radio FNC.